The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
It seems like every other week Microsoft releases a new website, and suddenly, just almost under the radar, came this website called Crossfader.com. And it started to circulate around a few digital media enthusiasts, including the digital media MVPs, and we had to wonder, geez, what is this Crossfader thing all about? And then the other day, they uploaded a tutorial where an individual was showing off a piece of software, how he did what he did in the project that he was working on. And I thought, wow, this is kind of neat. And I started to explore it a little more. And then we found out that the person in charge was going to be doing a webcast with a certain amount of individuals, and said, hey, would he be willing to kind of come in and maybe talk to us on the show? And then he was brought into the email thread, and he's like, who? What? Huh? Where? What? Eric Schmidt. Eric, thank you so much for coming.
Sure, no problem.
And
thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. And then as a last-minute surprise, you've brought in a friend, a colleague.
Correct.
Do you mind introducing him?
Well, I'll probably let him introduce himself, just because he does this every week, and he has a better voice than I do, but this is Derek Mazzoni.
I'm Derek Mazzoni, DJ, producer, consultant, do a bunch of stuff, and I helped out a lot on Crossfader project, which is something I'm very, very proud of, and the reaction to it has been phenomenal within the electronic community. Everybody from DJs to producers to, like, serious people that have no business talking to me or Eric are actually spending time and finding out what's going on. So we're pretty stoked about it.
Okay, so in trying to describe what Crossfader was, I showed the website to my fiance Ponzi, and she said, "Now what? Oh, how do you say, or how do you describe Crossfader?"
Well, simply, I mean, it's an online community at the soul of it. You know, there's a lot of great online communities out there today that focus on everything from how to fix your car to how to raise rabbits to, you know, how to raise good kids to how to make illicit drugs, whatever it is, right? That's the power of the internet, right? You can create communities. And the real soul behind Crossfader was creating a community that helped bridge the aspects of music creation, music production, music performance into the technology realm. So there's kids at home creating beats on laptops or in their, you know, garage studios. There are multi-million and billion-dollar producers creating tracks on PCs, laptops, Macs, whatever it is, but at the end of the day, it's all some type of software-based technology. And we were kicking around this idea for a while. We said, hey, let's go create a community and focus on the great work that people are doing with PC-based and Windows-based technology, and that's how Crossfader was born. So whenever you sit down with Ponzi, you say, hey, you know that track that you heard on the radio? Well, this community is really geared at showing where the music comes from, how it's created, who produces it, how they do it, the tools that they use.
So it's there to empower people who are already doing it, or is it also there to help people kind of learn how to get into the whole mixing scene, if you could call it that?
Yeah, we wanted to keep the bar pretty low, so we kind of call it, you know, zero to hero or Billy Boy to bad boy. So the you know, a lot of the great stories come from the enthusiast. That's the low bar, not the lowest bar that we have, but it's the guy or girl that's out there that wants to express themselves. And they may have loaded some shareware or freeware, and they start making some beats, so they went out and bought some turntables. Those are the guys. And, you know, the spectrum goes from that type of artist all the way up to someone that's producing stuff legitimately. They get signed to a record label, they may create their own record label, all the way up to, you know, kind of the rock star, the guy that's touring, the guy or girl that's touring, maybe has a whole clothing line associated with what they do. They've created a whole persona. So it really starts the enthusiasts, and we want to empower and create as many music creators as possible through the information that's on the site and the type of information that we expose them to.
And go ahead.
One of the things that's been really amazing in the initial process is that there, through the forums and through the blogs, you actually have an opportunity to share information, like, with the heroes. Like, I just sent a quick little piece out about my feeling that a lot of hip hop is really cheesy right now, but I still believe in it. You know, I believe that hip hop is valid. Jazzy Jeff sends me an email you know, reacts to it. So I'm like, I'm dealing with Jazzy Jeff here. You know, it's like,
really?
What the hell is going on? So it's that kind of environment where, you know, you're no longer just stuck in your little world. You're actually able to collaborate with people. And our dream is that inevitably there'll be an opportunity where a young MC's got some kind of delivery system that really, a vocal style that somebody like Jazzy Jeff goes like, okay, that's you. So let's collaborate together. So they'll send their vocal tracks. Jazzy Jeff will lay down some instrumentals, and you create something that will bubble up and become a monster hit.
So that was your level of involvement with this particular resource then, crafting it so that it could become, if you will, a platform or a stage upon which undiscovered talent could really launch themselves.
That's one of the aspects of it, definitely. The other is there's a lot of different genres within the electronic realm, and even goes beyond electronic. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to educate people on all the different music that's out there, the artists that are stepping up, and also to create more producers. You know, we live in very much a consumer-based society, which is good and bad, but in music, there's so much great talent out there, and it'd be amazing if there were easy tools for people that just have an idea. The muse hits them at a particular day. They lay down some beats. There's educational, well, I want to make something. So we've got tutorials on how to use Reason, how to use Acid, how to use just about anything. Here I'm producing some stuff, and here I'm sharing my stuff, and suddenly I make a living off of music. And, you know, that is the goal for so many people, where it's not their job anymore, it's their passion. And we want to create an environment where that really happens.
Yeah. And there's a couple other things I wanted to add. Was as far as the site is concerned, and the technology and user experience of it, is there are already existing forums today, you know, a lot of great forums where you can go and dig for information. What we wanted to do was kind of raise the bar a little bit, and also highlight and demonstrate the power of other, you know, social networking technology that's out there. So, you know, in the spirit of Channel 9, like, we worked with them and said, okay, how do you pull off your daily video editorial process? You know, what? How can we do that? But, you know, focus on a completely different community. Taking blogging technology and provide that to the community free of charge. Pretty much, you know, sign up, you have it, providing a gallery mechanism so there's a way to exchange media. And you start bringing all those things together on top of the forums, and you have a pretty cool tool or a set of tools that, you know, provides someone to go online very quickly and carve out their own little niche of the world and start hammering away and blogging and saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what I sound like. This is what I want to do. This is what I need. This is what I've learned. And they can do that, you know, through the click of a button versus going to six or seven different online communities or maybe having to create their own web presence or create their own blogging technology.
And you guys just started with this.
Yeah, it's brand new. Brand new.
Like,
just, weeks old.
Yeah, not even a month old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had been working on the project about 6 months as far as, like, you know, what should we do? How should we, you know, attack this particular challenge? And then we were in development with about 3 months. And the folks at Telligent, the community server guys, are the guys that we predominantly worked with. Rob Howard, he's an ex-Microsoft guy. I don't know if you've followed their story at all. But,
no, not extensively.
You know, he was a PM on the ASP.NET team, and he saw the power behind, you know, aggregating all these technologies into one tool, and that's the code base that we based the site off, was this community server code base. And we were it took a little work, you know, a little arm bending to get it to look how it looks today, but
very non-Microsofty, you know, I'd imagine that was the goal.
Yeah, that
or one of the goals, you know, in the sheet that you had sitting in front of you, one of the goals, not make it look corporate.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the side goals. We didn't go out of our way to do it, but we didn't go out of our way to say, hey, we need to make this thing look like Microsoft, because, you know, in the end, people's association with Microsoft, as far as the technology is concerned, is the investment that they made. So it's the investment in the operating system, it's an investment in the hardware that the OS runs on, and the whole, you know, ecosystem. Derek's going to punch me for saying that word, but the whole
I know. I catch it. No, I catch it too. I make it a joke when I talk to someone at Microsoft. You have to fit ecosystem somewhere.
Always.
It just happens.
But we've got slammed. It's like, you know, I'm not going to mention names, but serious people in the industry, in the music industry, are going like, what the hell do you mean? When you say, can't you speak normally?
With the ecosystem?
Yeah.
So it's not become a part of your lexicon then on a daily basis?
I know it, but, you know, some people, that's not their vernacular. You know, that doesn't fit into vocabulary, especially when you're talking about music. Ecosystem? And I find myself sometimes saying it, but, you know, it's not street. It's not ghetto.
So you're trying to take an approach where it seemed to me, when I saw it, and as being someone who just enjoys and appreciates music for what it is, not necessarily the construction of any kind of audio or video to a certain degree, but really appreciating what's there. It seemed to me that you've got quite a comprehensive set of tools, like in terms of letting someone share what they've created.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that was the primary goal. So the branding around it and the look and feel. Although we did spend a lot of time kind of nagging over, okay, how should it look? What should the colors be? You know, how do we make this thing look authentic? That certainly, you know, takes time.
But you got RSS in there. I was very impressed.
Yeah, RSS was probably the top level feature that we needed to expose all the information that will eventually be housed with inside of the site, whether it's, you know, comments on a picture or a piece of media inside of the gallery, or it's someone's blog, or it's the news for the overall site. We have a calendaring feature that's coming that will be RSS enabled, that we'll be able to combine other people's calendars to have a more global community calendar.
Oh, wow.
But pretty much everything inside of the site was all targeted at being syndicated through RSS.
So you've got a bulletin board merged with a blog, merged with, I guess, what would be some specific tools that someone who was creating audio would have that, I guess, a normal person wouldn't necessarily think they'd need?
Oh, okay. So specifically how we broke this down was in the site, we made a conscious effort to separate the music piece of it, the kind of what's in from a genre perspective versus the knowledge piece of the how-to, what do I need, what should I buy. On the knowledge side, we've broken that down into subjects like how do you perform, what type of software and hardware would you need to buy, how would you produce, how would you edit sound. So, for example, how, you know, you're recording this session here. Well, we have, you know, various tutorials on, okay, you want to go edit beats, this is the type of software that you should use, and here are some tutorials to show you how to do that.
Oh, so you've actually got rich content sitting there now.
We have some content. Whenever we just released in beta, so we made a very conscious effort to, you know, push the site out in a test mode to make sure all the cranks and spark plugs and everything is working in the background. And we have a good editorial content pipeline built up right now with all of our hardware, software, and educational partners that we've been working with in the back, behind the scenes, because those are the guys that ultimately are the people that understand how their technology works the best. So the guy at Sony who's programming that, much like in the spirit of Channel 9, you know, interviewing the guy that's writing the C# compiler, we want to talk to the guy at Sony who's writing the pitch shifting algorithms for Acid, or talk to the guy at Ableton who wrote the new MIDI functionality in Ableton Live 4.0. So it's very similar to what you see on the Channel 9 side, except, you know, obviously we're targeting a completely different
We want to have as much authenticity as humanly possible, because if we lose even a smidgen, we're done.
Yeah. And I was going to ask the next question. How well has it been received to this point? And understanding that you've only been around for you were just born literally yesterday.
Literally.
Yeah.
We're brand new. Really well. Really well. And not in a sense like, you know, people are going, wow, this is amazing, this is great. They're actually banging around. They're pointing at some stuff. There's like real valid arguments, positive and negative. So we've got our allies. There are people going, oh, you don't need this crap. Just get yourself a G5, and that's all you need. And instantly there's like, well, why? What's the argument for that? So people are interacting in it, and a community is building already around it, which is pretty phenomenal for us. So it's not, you know, it's not a marketing piece. It's not just going, this is great. You know, we're all CrossFaders. It's really a tool, and just like any tool, there are people that people are really working with it.
Now, what's the thing you're most proud of as far as what's come of the website that's currently sitting there right now on CrossFader.com?
Well, there's probably two different things. Pride is a it's probably a weird description. I think I'm most excited and hopeful the fact that one that we were able to do it from the aspect of hey, the whole idea of this initiative and being able to focus Microsoft's attention on this community, which is massive. You know, if you look at the global impact and the amount of people using this technology and how they're expressing themselves. So that's the first piece that I'm excited about and hopeful. But I think from an execution perspective is just the amount of partners that we've been able to work with and build up in a relatively short amount of time. And it's evident the type of material, for example, the spooky video that I
sent
you.
Which I watched,
yeah.
Yes.
You know, something like that 6-8 months ago, and the whole concept of, hey, let's go sit down in front of an artist who is a really a shepherd of the style that he's driving. Get in front of him, get inside of his head, and then be able to turn around and show that to the world and do it in a way that it's just purely raw. You know, it's very transparent. There's kind of minimal marketing spin to it. That's really exciting. And, you know, it's been an awesome experience for all of us because it's been fun for us from a strategy perspective. Like, hey, it'd be great to go tell this guy's story and show how he does what he does. And then you go talk to the artist and you say, hey, we want to tell your story. And in the beginning, a lot of times it was like, well, how am I going to get paid? Or how much money am I going to make? But as soon as they get the whole idea of community, transparency concept, being able to show people through video what they do in this very focused environment, they totally get it. And that's, you know, Derek went out to go shoot the tape. I wasn't with him, and he came back, and I was just blown away. He had like 45 minutes, and I was like, you know, we only have 8 minutes to show. You know, I wish we could show the whole thing. So that's, from a pride perspective, or more so like, hey, we're pumped up. We know that the model works, and it's helping both the artists, it's helping the community, it's helping us tell a story.
Yo, what's up, y'all? How you doing? My name is Paul Miller, a.k.a. DJ Spooky, that Subliminal Kid. And today, kiddies, we're going to do a little scenario. I'm in production finalizing a project called Drums of Death with the drummer from Slayer, Dave Lombardo, you know, sort of heavy. The other is Chuck D from Public Enemy. And the record is called Drums of Death. Basically, the whole vibe for the record is to kind of get people into the idea of sampling as a band, you know, or a band made of samples. So you can think of the Gorillaz, you can think of a whole bunch of different groups that are doing kind of hip-hop meets rock, you know, Linkin Park, that kind of stuff. But what I want to do is apply it to DJ technique. So not just a band, but DJing the band.
So, Derek, your background is in DJing, or at least you've got an experience in this, and you'll have to pardon my complete
That's okay.
greenness.
That's okay.
Having just met you and not really being much on the outside the home scene, which means to say I'm an old fuddy-duddy for 31 years old. If you were to see this, I mean, obviously you're involved with the project, but if you were to see this and come across it, what would be, in seeing what's on the website now, what would be your first impression?
Well, I would be blown away because for the first time there is an actual space that answers all of the questions that I, as somebody who works in the music industry, have. Whether it is, okay, as a DJ, I want to be a better DJ. And then the next evolution from that is, okay, I need to start producing. How do I produce? What do I want to do? You know, you buy something or get it any way you can, and you load it into your computer and you start with it. You have no idea what the hell's going on. You know, you see the tutorials, but, you know, usually their translations from German, which is very difficult, you know, to get into. It's like, you'll do it this way. And so here's something that is actually – that has all of
– So wait, those tutorials don't work? That's how I learned. I mean, come on.
They do work, but it's – especially when you're dealing with music, it's like, you know, okay, what are we talking about here? But the fact that when we crafted Crossfader, we wanted to make sure that we were an authentic player in the industry. So as a DJ and as a producer, I read the magazines. I read Remix, BPM, Future Music. I look at all of the latest tools that are out there. You know, Reason came out. It was amazing. And then Ableton Live came out. It's amazing. Now Reason 3.0 comes out. And you're always worried that, you know, you're not keeping up. So you never really spend time learning what you have right now and get really good at it. You're always, okay, I don't want Acid anymore. I need to go after Reason. But you should just stick with Acid for a while. Get really good at it until you're tired of it and then move on to something else. So here is a site that's got content from all the magazines that are actually covering the stuff.
Really?
And yeah.
So you've got content that you're bringing in from, I'm assuming these are your partners.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're looking at the site right now. I mean,
Crossfader.com.
Yeah, if you go to the What's Hot section, for example, and I think there's one that says Both Sides Now, if you can see that.
Both Sides Now.
So this is an article sourced from Remix Magazine, which is one of our editorial partners. And it's an article written on the behalf of Gabriel and Dresden.
And RSS Auto Discovery. Congratulations.
Yes, thanks.
You did it right.
So this is a classic example of the content in this article is spot on as far as the focus. Like they went and wrote the small editorial piece and were like, hey, this is really helpful information. This was released, I think, in the February edition, so 2 months ago or so. Remix has a subscriber base of around 45,000 printed circulation. And the cool thing about this type of editorial process is they ship the magazine. It goes out to the readership. I read it. Half the times, I may not read the whole thing. I may just flip through whatever I find exciting and put on the bookshelf. And what we're doing with Crossfader is scanning all this stuff and figuring out, hey, you know what? This article would actually be really good because it fits into the knowledge section in this particular space, and we know people need help with this. So let's harvest this content out of the printed mag, get it online, get it syndicated through RSS, and get it housed in part of the knowledge area that's going to hit people whenever they come to the site.
So in looking at, my first question is, like, where are all your users? And then the first link I clicked on was something called The List. So I'm assuming that's where I would get a readout of people who have registered for this website?
Yeah, and using some of the authentic terms, like we were thinking, well, we could call it the users list or you know, all these things. And we said, hey, let's just use The List because that everyone, you know, in the scene, they always want to get on the list. So, hey, get me on the list, you know, me plus two, me plus three, or I'm on the list. I know the DJ.
You know, yeah, I know like the that. DJ. In fact, I think I know the person who owns IamTheDJ.com, Amber, someone I know from San Francisco does DJing down there.
Yeah.
Can I use that with as a gerund DJing? Mm-hmm. I can say that. Okay.
Spinning, DJing, mixing.
It's all the same. Now, that reminds me. I wanted to ask your take on the whole phenomenon, this remix culture. Mm-hmm. So the Wired CD was released, and I'm assuming both of you know what I'm talking about, or you should. Is there any empowerment of Creative Commons? Because that was one of the first things I looked for. I mean, I saw a copyright, like a terms of use privacy policy, but in terms of things that are created, are you helping provide any samples or, you know, possible things that are open with attribution, like on a Creative Commons level, to people who are looking for good things to remix?
We are working on providing functionality like that. So the gallery feature right now is limited to pictures. But the technology behind it will allow us to house any type of content, whether it's audio, video, pictures, etc. You hit the nail on the head, though, talking about copyrights and usage rights. And the one thing that we want to do and that we'll continue to do on this site is make sure that we're doing the right thing, being good corporate and actually, you know, more importantly, good music citizens.
Yeah.
So providing a tool that provides the right functionality and structures so that users can exchange information or sound clips, loops, whatever it is, and do it in a way that's legal and that it's, you know, abiding by the rights of the owner, who either owns the mechanical rights to it, the production rights, the performance rights, etc. And Creative Commons is maybe one of the solutions that we end up employing on top of the technology. But we are definitely focused on doing that.
We were Winter Music at M3 when we launched Crossfader. Eric and I both sat on different panels, and that came up a lot. You know, how do musicians actually are able to tap into some of this originally existing content and use it in remixes or mashups? How do you keep the creative juices flowing without creating a situation where legality keeps you from actually advancing as an artist? And, you know, there's a case up at the Supreme Court right now just dealing with that. And so, you know, we need to figure out what we're going to do, but the initiative, the spirit, the manifesto behind this is to really help people produce, really expose the culture, really create an environment where this type of music, this type of the scene can actually grow. So however we approach it, that's the way we're going. That's the perspective we're going to approach it from.
Yeah, and just to add to that is, and to answer your question a little bit different ways, it's not necessarily about the remix culture. It's really about how people are doing production today, and that the CD and the Wired magazine was less about kind of remixing. It was more about, here's a bunch of stuff. Here's a toolbox, in some cases a random toolbox, and go build something, go produce. Here's some bass lines, here's some drum loops, here's some synths, here's some pads, here's some vocals. And therein lies the whole legal aspect of, you know, who owns the rights to that, what can you do with them, etc. So Creative Commons does provide a mechanism to, you know, easily allow other people to take advantage of that content. And that's really where, you know, the power behind all of this collaboration technology enables someone to go produce. It's like, I can go download anything I want to and start producing. Am I doing the right thing from a legal aspect? Who knows? And a lot of people may not be taking the time to actually go investigate, am I doing the right thing? So that's, you know, inside of the knowledge section, inside of the site, we want to spend time initially educating people on, this is what you need to go do. This is how you get the rights to do something like that. Or if you're going to go buy samples and you're going to start producing with them, are they royalty-free? Can they be used to produce your own music and sell it on your behalf? There's all types of questions that has to be answered. And, you know, at some point, you know, Derek mentioned the Supreme Court case that's going on. Major record labels are cracking down. DRM technology is starting to take hold in certain areas. Eventually, you know, people have to do the right thing as it, you know, in terms of respecting the music and the ownership of, you know, of it out there. So it's less about the remix piece, and it's more just about how people are producing today.
To clarify, or to put a finer point on it, which Supreme Court case are you referring to?
The one that's going up right now, they're using the protocol of Betamax, wherein Sony was... created the Betamax, mm-hmm. the first time that somebody could actually record content, and it was, you know, good quality. So the Supreme Court said that Sony was not liable for creating the Betamax. So now all of the Nutellas, the LimeWires, all of the what are those called?
Like file sharing.
File sharing technologies, PMPs. Are they actually are they liable for the way their technology is being used? And a question the Supreme Court is going on right now is like, if the argument from the file sharing point of view is that if you create a piece of technology, you need to have a period of time to see if it can have a legal usability. You can't automatically just say you cannot create this technology if it might be illegal. That definitely hinders creativity. And but the established media companies are saying that no, is if you're going to create something that's automatically illegal, you can't create it. You have to stop it.
Now let me kind of get a little technical for a second here. Say I've already got a certain level of involvement with an existing community, maybe a smaller community, maybe a very targeted community, and I've built up kind of a profile. I've built up, you know, my recognition inside this community. What would be the value, or what would help me kind of bridge that gap between the community I was in and pretty familiar in, and not necessarily moving to CrossFader, but where does CrossFader play into someone who's already got a vested interest in an existing community online?
Right. It's a great question. That was actually one of the features that we targeted whenever we were building this site, because there are already some great, well-established online communities that cater to this greater space. And we wanted to be able to work with those guys and collaborate with them. We are obviously providing something that's a little bit more value add, because we've enabled video technology and we're enabling blogging, which is something that most of these other communities don't have. And the RSS piece is something that we were talking to them. It's like, hey, let's start exchanging RSS feeds between our sites so that we can start cross-pollinating and provide richer information. You know, you may be focusing on alt rock and Glitch House or whatever your niche is, that we're not focusing on. But hey, if we can exchange some of that information back and forth in real time, we're going to start being able to bubble that up to both of our user communities.
So do you also provide, I guess, file hosting? So if I've got a video that I want to share with people, or even an MP3, sometimes they can be really unwieldy. And you get a good one, or you get one that you want to share with your audience. And, a lot of the people who have web hosting, they may pay, $20 a month or less, and it only goes so far. Right. Is that another, value add to your community, or have you looked at that aspect yet?
Yeah, that goes back to the questions you asked before about the whole production or remixing cultures. Right now, the media gallery feature, we've locked it down to provide pictures only, because as soon as we open that up to other media types, especially on the audio side, then we're back into how do we structure the process in such a way that it provides someone a legal way to host their information. So a classic example would be, kids at home, he's listening, he gets his new, say, 50 Cent CD, and he starts doing a remix of Candy Shop, and he thinks it's cool to mix it with Eric B. and Rakim, and he comes up with this cool remix. As soon as he takes that and rips it to WMA or MP3 and hosts it on the site and people start downloading it, we have a problem. And, I'm all for allowing, viral viral development, people doing mashups and remix. That's how stuff gets created. But at the end of the day, Eric B. or 50 Cent's going to be going, hey, the 50,000 people that just downloaded that thing, I didn't get paid for it. So we have to come up with a way that's going to do the right thing, both for the artist, but also the sub artist, the guy that's producing or remixing on top of that content. We're going to do it, but it's going to take us a little bit more time to make sure that we do the right thing. So
the other thing that's interesting in this argument, you got to put yourself in a position also. People that are checking out CrossFader, inevitably, if they spend time there, they're going to be producing. They're going to come up with tracks. They're going to find somebody in a club somewhere that's got an amazing voice, and they'll record that. And then suddenly, they're an established recording artist. They're a producer, a DJ. They're suddenly making bank off of that recording. And, a month later, they're hit. Somebody pulled an a cappella track of that and has just released a bootleg. They're going to get really pissed. They might have been on one side of the fence before, saying, oh, it's all free, it's no problem. But when it's coming out of their pocket, I swear, I promise you, it's going to be a very different argument.
I know.
From those people. It's just like, wow, I'm getting ripped off here. What's going on?
Well, and to dive a little further into this whole aspect, and, as I said, it was kind of a technical question. The second part of it was on the API level. So you've got a gallery, and I'm assuming this is for photos, correct? I mean, images at this point?
It can pretty much be used for anything at this point, but we're focused on just allowing people to share images. Yeah.
So, is there an API that is available? So, for instance, I would use Flickr, which was recently acquired by Yahoo.
Right.
Strong community, huge integrated social networking to the nth degree.
Right.
And it's very, very powerful. And of course, they've opened up their APIs, and so people are really creating. They're mashing up Flickr and doing really neat things with that API beyond what it was originally designed for on, you know, Flickr.com.
Right.
Is there any element of that within Crossfader.com at this point?
We have a set of web service APIs that we're going to expose in the next couple months that will allow people to do portal-based uploading and surfing of content. So as we move along and people want to, you know, Derek asked me this question today. He's like, hey, man, I want to be able to post, 10 pictures from a job that I just did. And right now we can only, manually do it one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be able to provide the UI, the API to other people to, you know, that'd be great if someone goes off and says, hey, I'm going to build a tool for Crossfader that'll enable you to post, multiple items or do searches that are beyond the search that's inside of the site.
Well, I know for me, it would be helpful. I mean, I would probably, I'm not the target for Crossfader, since I have no really desire to enjoy music beyond the way I enjoy it at this point in time. Maybe sharing it with other people, like, hey, I love the CD. In fact, Robert Scoble, you talk about Channel 9, I ended up getting the Black Eyed Peas album after listening to it in Robert's car, and they only got it, sorry about that, they only got it, they're going to have to call back. Okay. They only got it because they heard it actually being played on one of the songs being played on an iPod commercial for a short time.
Yeah.
And then I listened to it going, wow, I didn't realize that was them. Well, that's a great CD. And so, if you consider that viral, it was just learning from a friend and sharing from a friend. And that's where my perspective into this. What would someone like me be able to get out of Crossfader?
One of the things that we're working on in the kind of medium or to longer term, kind of for the, we just call him the average Joe, like the guy that's just, he's just a listener, right? He doesn't have any real intention or kind of aspiration to go jump into the creative space. And playlists and kind of the what's hot across all these genres is probably the biggest help that we can provide, and to help people navigate through just the massive amount of music that's being produced globally. And we're working on some things to help people share playlists, to help them subscribe to certain styles they like. So if you like the Black Eyed Peas, maybe you'd like other groups that were produced by the same people that produced the Black Eyed Peas, or you like that sound, you like that texture, you like the types of instruments that were used to produce the Black Eyed Peas. The more, information, meta information that we have about other songs, other artists, other genres, we can start connecting, different pieces, and you can come and say, oh, I like the Black Eyed Peas. I also would like these things. And this is similar to some of the stuff that, Amazon does, MSN Music does, but it's done at in a very inorganic, kind of very computerized way. We're focused on this on a daily basis, looking at these genres, working with these artists. So our editorial process becomes a little bit more street, a little bit more real time,
hands on.
Yeah, a little bit more hands on. Like Derek's experience in the modern global genre is just amazing. I mean, every day I'm learning stuff from him, and he's being able to articulate to me, okay, this is what really these subgenres are like. And I would have never been able, exposed to this if it weren't for tools like online communities, like playlists that people were sharing in real time via the internet. So we are working on that type of functionality to let people that are, on the list, they have their blog, well, hey, they can start, posting playlists. The other piece of that is that since we're inside of Microsoft, we're able to work with and promote other technologies. So today we just released MSN Messenger 7.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
It has a playlist functionality feature. If did you see that piece to it?
I think I did. I saw being able to turn on the ability to share whatever is being played currently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are little, nooks and crannies, but other pieces of technology inside of Microsoft that we're just scratching our head going, that's pretty cool. Wonder if we took that and embedded it with some of this technology and aggregated it together, we could provide a whole new tool and a whole new user experience for the user.
What would be interesting is to be able to open up a not just share a playlist, but to open up a player, open up a window, an IM window, and then listen to whatever that other person was listening to at that point in time.
Yeah, that's that would be an amazing tool.
And actually, that would be neat.
You can do that today with 360, I believe.
Wait, 360? Yahoo 360?
No,
or?
There was a it was part of Messenger that we had.
Oh, you mean 3 degrees?
3 degrees. Sorry,
yes.
sorry.
It's
sorry.
Okay.
Yeah,
I just made someone from corporate branding is either going to be very disappointed or very happy, depending on which side of the fence they sat on.
Can we edit that?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe our producer's not in the room right now. He's filling up on ham and cheese, or not cheese. He doesn't like cheese. He's allergic to it. But
yeah, but the 3 degrees functionality was something that. But I think the thing that why it really hasn't taken off, like, you know, you're sitting and go, man, it'd be really cool if we had that functionality. Well, it's kind of, you know, it's there, but it's maybe not necessarily in the right form factor, right? It's not integrated how people really want it to be.
Yeah,
so.
It's just invisible so that it just works.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Not necessarily needing to know how it works.
Yeah.
I think also going back to your question of, like, what CrossFitter would have for you, it's the biggest thing is that it's going to be an authentic space. You know, there's a lot of garbage out there. A lot of people are trying mm-hmm. to sell you anything and anything. And there's always, like, you know, magazines that are supposed to give you editorial content, but it's just fluffed up, you know, marketing. With this, because of the its structure, the depth of information that we're going to go into about the music and about the scene and about the technology, inevitably people that are interested in authentic stories are going to go in this. And you're going to get – it's the reason why certain magazines succeed and certain – once fail. And the way we built CrossFitter, it's bound to succeed.
Yeah. And I don't want to cut you off before your next question.
No.
I just want to posture kind of everything that we're doing. Like, it's easy for us to kind of go off on a bunch of tangents and feel like we want to go boil the ocean and create a bunch of features and do some, you know, great fun stuff. But in the end, I think Derek just, you know, kind of hit the nail on the head was our core value that we have to and that we want to provide to the end user is knowledge, and is really targeted knowledge about the things that they either want to know or the things that they need to know and they don't even know it yet. So it's the guy sitting there going, man, I can DJ or I can maybe compose music or script music, but I don't know how to create. I don't know how to leverage this technology. And if we can just solve those problems, we will help, and we want to empower and get the community to empower other people. So it's getting them talking. A lot of time musicians are sitting there in their studio and they don't go and talk to anybody about the stuff that they just created because, you know, there aren't tools that are kind of, you know, pushed in front of them. Like, you know, if you look at MSDN and Channel 9 and Slashdot and all these tools around the techie and programming developer community, that's all people, you know, want to do. They want to get on and say, hey, man, check out this new algorithm I wrote. Check out this new UI tool I wrote. It's a very, very collaborative space. And traditionally, the music community hasn't been as collaborative just because they're kind of stuck in their creative mind, not necessarily in their collaborative and education mind.
Is there any possibility of raising the consciousness of not just the creator, the creator wannabe, but just the person who may run across CrossFitter just on a moment's notice? So, for instance, an example. If I were to come to CrossFitter at this point, you know, I'm looking around, I'm seeing, oh, there's I see right up front, I see like a way that I can play some media right there. But if I go to one of these individuals' pages, am I going to find out where they're from? Am I going to find out, and more importantly, from there, can I go to, say, Seattle? So I find out that Derek is in Seattle. I like his stuff. I'm like, can I find out from there who else is in Seattle? So is there a chance to grow this to the point where not only is it empowering the individual, but also the community in general, so that people kind of get used to going to CrossFitter for finding great music content, much like we would go to Craigslist here in Seattle,
yep,
or San Francisco to a large degree, or New York. We'd use Craigslist if we want to buy or sell, if we want to see what's going on in those communities.
Yep.
Is it going to evolve to that point, or is that on the horizon at all?
Yeah, one of the things, and you can expand upon this too, Derek, is if you go back into the list,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the beta format right now, we've structured everything like you can go and search by region, by state, and on the left-hand side.
Okay,
drop
as long
box.
As they've got the metadata. Now, what's the value of filling out the metadata?
The value in the long run is going to be exactly what you just talked about. So it's going to be, okay, Right now, the metadata is fairly, you know, macro or level.
Yeah,
and
it is.
We're going to be providing a way, and I don't want to give away the farm here, but
it's okay.
We'll be providing a way to get probably at about a 3x3 square foot proximity, just as far as where you live.
That's pretty close.
And you know, where you live, what you do, and where you perform. And then, you know, if you look at the profiles, we're collecting information if people want to participate, like the type of genres that they like, what do they do. We'll be adding some additional stuff to the profile about specific pieces, like what are you proficient in? Well, I'm proficient in MIDI, or I'm proficient in vocal recording, or I'm proficient in beat development. And over time, we'll start exposing that information back to the community and saying, okay, hey, you want to go find you know, hip-hop turntablists in the Seattle area, go ahead and drill down through this tool.
Yeah, and making it simple to do.
Really simple. And, I mean, I produce 3 radio shows. I reach millions of people every week. And just simple tools like email, getting people who want my playlist, and then developing communities around a playlist. It's simple, you know, rudimentary technology. What could happen with Crossfader based on a love of music or a love of technology or a love of a scene in a particular city? The thing could just grow to be phenomenal. I think that's going to be one of the hidden secrets, and that's going to blow Crossfader up, is that you can build communities. And, you know, that's fundamentally is the thing that makes people happy. It's just hanging around together and sharing something.
Okay, so let's step sideways for just a second, Derek. Can you give everybody your background? I mean, let's hear why you're a credible source.
I'm a music geek, like geek in general. I started doing radio while even in college, continued to do it after school, and then, you know, worked in the advertising industry, worked in the film industry, but kept doing music throughout. And being in Seattle, I inevitably started working for different technology companies, started consulting at Microsoft, and started to find ways where I could bridge my love of this type of all music in general and my love of technology. About a year and a half ago, I was asked to put together a thing called the DJ Summit, Microsoft DJ Summit. We had Grandmaster Flash, DJ Crush out of Tokyo, Spooky, Chevy Sabah out of San Francisco,
Hernan
Cataneo out of Buenos Aires, Sandra Collins out of LA, covering all the genres. Come to Microsoft, check out some amazing technology. Everybody ends up with a laptop loaded with everything. First time they're playing with a PC. Sometimes, you know, it taking them away from rudimentary technology, because, like I was talking about before, like somebody like Fatboy Slim, his first 2 records were created on, what's that thing, the Atari.
Atari. Yep.
And, you know, this is like
2600.
It's ridiculous.
No.
It's like, yeah.
2600?
Yeah.
Wait. How the hell did he pull that off?
He just did. That's what he was comfortable with. That's what he'd learned, you know.
The basic programming cartridge, or, I mean, no, that only was when, that was in the 7800. I'm sorry, I've got to find out more information about this. Anyway,
so
continue.
And a lot of these cats, that's what they're familiar with, you know. So we gave them the first inroad to a new technology, which totally blew our minds. I mean, there was a moment there where we were showcasing all the technology and everything, and I did not plan to have this happen to me. But I'm sitting there across from Grandmaster Flash, and Grandmaster Flash is looking at me and telling me, show me how to make a beat on this thing. Like, he didn't know what to do. And I'm like, how the hell am I? Can I swear on this thing, or is this?
We try to. Okay. You can say hell. We okay. Say that often, but
what words can't we say?
Pretty much the words that you wouldn't say on radio.
Oh, okay.
We try to stick to that.
Keep it family friendly. But I was not prepared to be sitting there and, you know, showing Grandmaster Flash how to make a beat. I just lost it. I was like, help somebody here, help me. And it evolved like that. And it was really interesting to see, like, you know, somebody like Spooky and Crush, who work with technology all the time, start working with these new tools. And we have brand new tools on there. So to answer your question, I'm sorry. I kind of
No, it's that. Okay.
So throughout this whole process, I've developed 3 radio shows. I've focusing on global music. And one of my big things right now is to create an evolution to a genre. Like, the things that I used to specialize in is world music. I'm an immigrant. I grew up in Poland, and I was really turned on to different music from different parts of the world. I come to the States. There's this new genre called world music, and it just became ludicrous because it's the entire world into one little genre. So I came up with this new form called modern global music, which is beat-driven, electronic or rock-driven, but has much more of it's music coming out of Jakarta, Berlin, Paris, fusion music. And so CrossFader is an example of different people coming together and creating a fusion of different of music and technology and pushing something even further. And to be honest with you, this may sound a little kind of like New Agey, but I get this really weird feeling about this. Like CrossFader could be something that could really blow up, because you're talking about music, which is incredibly powerful as a driving tool for technology. I don't know why it is, but you know, you've got your file sharing with Napster, and then you've got your MP3 player, iPods. It seems that music and people wanting music drives the technology further and further. So this feels very much like the next step on that road. Like we're doing something here, and even beyond that, this kind of technology, it's like, you know, people talking about PCs and what am I going to do in Microsoft, what's Microsoft doing in this space. When we're doing CrossFader, we're actually talking to an audience that uses the tools that Microsoft creates. Instead of just like, you know, with a bullhorn yelling at everybody, you know, use this stuff for what? It's like, here, I'm talking to a producer, I'm talking to somebody that listens to music, use this technology, see what it does for you. So I'm really stoked. I hope I answered your question.
No, that does answer the question.
Okay.
You've got actually, and I want to make sure you've got enough time. We're about 10 till the hour. At this moment, but you still actively DJ here in Seattle.
Yeah.
In fact, that's how Eric kind of introduced you, or at least said that, hey, is it okay if I brought someone along? I said, yeah, sure, great, the more the merrier.
I'm out all the time. I'm on a radio every week, and I'm doing a show with Chevy Sabah this Friday and Saturday in Seattle and an amazing new club in Bellingham called The Nightlight.
Oh, yeah. So now, could someone then listen to your stuff through a website somewhere?
Yeah.
Where?
KEXP.org.
KEXP.org.
Uh-huh.
Local Seattle station. They,
yep.
Every time you tune it in, is that the one that's different every time
yep.
you turn on the radio? What was the whole idea behind that?
Well, it's an old idea, which is that instead of creating a tightly limited format that is created by faceless people, actually let a radio station be developed by the DJ. So, like I told you before, I'm a complete music geek. You know, I know so much about music, it's ludicrous. So I'm a perfect person to create a radio show. So there's people like John Richards in the Morning or Cheryl Waters that are all like that. So we become these editors of what we think is good. I mean, a lot of people are ranting and raving, saying, I've got 20,000 songs. How many of them do you listen to? Three. Because I really don't know what's good. So, you know, we've developed this reputation, and the reputation's grown like crazy. We're like one of the three biggest radio stations in the world right now. It's nuts.
Does it do online streaming then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like the whole day?
We do online streaming, archiving. We're the only station in the world that broadcasts a complete uncompressed signal. We were like a beta test site for the University of Washington's computer lab.
Mm.
So we're at the right place at the right time, and now we're huge. We're a public station, so there's no commercials, and we get to play anything we want within limits of FCC, but can play anything at all that
we want. Do you have a Dr. Demento style show?
There is inevitably, you're doing a show at 1-2 in the morning, you know, inevitably there's a Dr. Demento kind of manifestation that comes up. But Dr. Demento's actually, he's in Washington State.
No.
Yeah, and he's doing a new show. There's a low-powered FM station, 104.3, which launches in a couple of weeks, and Dr. Demento is going to be doing a show.
No!
I just made your day.
Oh, man. I found Dr. Demento, and we, unfortunately, when I was growing up, I didn't really know a lot, you know, that he was even there. And then when I got to college, I found out about a few bands through Dr. Demento, including They Might Be Giants,
mm-hmm.
which I had kind of heard off and on, but he really kind of, as odd as it sounds, really kind of put me, you know, in touch with They Might Be Giants, and now they're like one of my all-time favorite bands. So, I mean, there's a reason I asked the question. I think there's some interesting, funny things that usually happen that, well, no. Think about it. I mean, everything that goes, quote-unquote, viral online has some element of humor in it.
I was laughing thinking that They Might Be Giants is sitting around thinking, man, thank God for Dr. Demento breaking us.
So. He did. He broke a lot of bands.
Yeah.
He broke a lot of bands. But that goes to answer the question. That's the idea. It's like, you know, I break genres. You know, people, I'll play music from a particular region or a country and be like, what the hell is that? Like, I just broke this Lithuanian ska funk band that sings in Latin. You know?
Really?
And they're amazing.
So, now speaking of, like, just odd combinations. Who is the Jewish rapper?
Which one?
He was just on. What was it? Jay Leno the other night.
Is he Hasid?
Hasid. Is that Ponzi even linked to him on her blog the other day? And I can't even remember his name. But he just, and I was listening to it. He's like a rapper who's rapping, and he happens to be very. I don't know if he's
not Goldberg.
Like very orthodox, but no, God, I can't. Ponzi will hopefully look up his name.
That's the weird thing is that like this weird stuff that comes up through music, and it's just people create interesting technology for music. And, you know, I don't know whether it is, you know, there's like this whole biblical concept. It's like, you know, God said the word. Okay, the word is music. It's vibration. There's all these ancient religions, Egyptian, Taoist, that based their entire Genesis system based on vibration and sound. So, you know, you could extrapolate this idea until you can create, you know, a whole metaphysical concept around it. Or people just like to get down and get funky. Hmm. Who knows? But for some reason, music, technology, work really well together.
So how did you two connect then originally? Was it because of your consulting at Microsoft?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah. He saved me. we're bringing in all these DJs, and, you know, we're trying to load up these laptops with all this gear. And, you know, of course, we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on, and everybody's coming in. And Eric comes and said, hey, I'm a DJ. What are you doing? I was just like, doing this. Can I help? Sure, please.
So, Eric, do you DJ as well? Or?
Yeah, that was the interesting part of this whole process is that this has been a labor of love. Basically, I've been spinning since '88, and then I started doing some editing and production work in the early '90s on a Mac using Audio Media 2, kind of a precursor to Pro Tools, and during my tenure at Microsoft, I had always focused on the classic developer tools, web services. You know, I've been a nerd for about a good 10 years and, you know, spent all my time working on XML and things like that. And whenever the DJ Summit came, was born, and I hooked up with Derek, I just started scratching my head going, let's see, Microsoft technology, a lot of people use it, people create music. A lot of opportunity here. We got good feedback from the summit. Let's go do something that's cool. Let's go talk to customers about what our story is, and more importantly, what the story is behind the whole ecosystem of hardware and software vendors that are building for the platform.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's, you know, that's
you used
how
ecosystem again, by the way. but if you okay, so yeah. If I were to think, okay, so what's going to be easy for me to, if I want to do some basic just remixing, mashups, whatever it happens to be, I automatically think GarageBand because I know it's simple. I mean, for that kind of tool, what is the equivalent cost in terms of ease of use? What is an equivalent kind of a beginner tool or an easily accessible tool on the Windows platform?
Reason propeller heads is good. If you want to start just making stuff, if you want to just go in there, and that's the thing that's really important that a lot of people have figured out right now. You don't want a tutorial. You want to get to the tutorial a little bit later. You want to instantly, you load it up, and you're actually creating sounds. You want to have that, you know, that's really important.
I got to disagree with him on this one, though. I mean, there's a ton of stuff that's, you know, kind of low, not I would say low end's a bad word, kind of entry level beginner
accessible.
Yeah, accessible.
Like what?
I think the entry version of Acid.
That's true.
Yeah. The thing about GarageBand and these other tools like Acid that have, you know, taken off is that they provide people ability to produce based on someone else's work. So you get GarageBand or you get Acid, and you just start dropping in clips. You know, I might not know doohickey about how to create a drum loop, but hey, this drum loop's already prepared for me. It's tempoed, it's quantized correctly, all this stuff. I drop it in, I hit the play button, and I'm, you know, I'm off and grooving. And then I say, well, I want to drop in this this shaker sound or the sitar or whatever it is. I don't know how to play the sitar, but hey, look, there's 40 different loops. So the next, you know, I do this for about 20 minutes, and next thing you know, I have a song. It may sound like crap, but I had a great time doing it. It was cheap, and, you know, it was for entertainment Purpose is great if I'm actually trying to go do something, then I can start working up the stack into other tools like, you know, Reason, or, you know, you got to get into a more advanced sequencer, so you move into something like Live, or you go back into Cubase. There's all different types of directions you can possibly
go. You got to master it on the Pro Tools. And
yeah. So, you know, I would say, you know, Acid is from a sequencing, you know, and the ability and access to samples and loops that provide you a way to kind of bootstrap yourself into the production process is, you know, would be one way to go.
Yeah.
Cakewalk has their
Kinetic
product, which is probably even closer to GarageBand from a kind of real world experience. So what the Cakewalk has done is they went and licensed the actual stems from the original masters from groups like Aerosmith. Mm. So you want to be Aerosmith?
Do you know what stems are?
No, you'd have to define them.
Stems are actual, like if you get a song, you get the drums, bass, you got your vocals, you got all of those are stems of a song. And so you can actually pull that and remix it together how you'd like.
Yeah. Hmm. So Cakewalk said, hey, one, we need to build a tool that's easy. So they went off and built the tool. And then two, we need to go get the content for people to go produce. The one thing to go do is to provide just a bunch of generic loops and stems. But wouldn't it be cool if we actually got the original source master material from these artists that people know, you know, in the mainstream? So they went and, you know, sourced stuff from we use the Aerosmith example because it's, you know, pretty much everyone knows who Aerosmith is. So to be able to sit down and actually be Aerosmith is a pretty amazing thing. So Kinetic's another tool that
there's a bunch. Recommend.
And Aerosmith also has one of the best roller coasters in the world. If you've it's at Disney World, or I guess. Not Disney World, the MGM Studios at Disney World, and they have a rock and roller coaster or something like that, and it's one of the best roller coaster experiences I've ever had in my entire life, yes.
Yeah.
So they must be doing good things, and I think that your cap almost looked like, Derek, it almost looks like an Aerosmith kind of logo, but it must not be.
I grew up in Boston.
Okay, so what is that?
It's something that Tony Touch gave me. Tony Touch is one of the DJs up there. I'm just saying, you're right, it is. I was remembering because it's like, you know, high school, Boston, everybody's got the wings of Aerosmith on the back of their jackets, and it's the thing to do.
Oh, by the way, I think it's Matis Yahu was the Jewish rapper. He's actually really good, too.
Really?
Yeah, he is really good, and he's blogging as well through his website, and someone had sent this to Ponzi, and then, of course, I was like, what? Ponzi, what are you linking to? Because the title of her page originally was like, see if I can find it here. This is what caught my attention. Jewish boys are hot, is what she said. So I checked out his performance. I downloaded it, and it was like very impressive. And that's not typically my genre that I listen to on a regular basis.
Does he rap in Hebrew, or is he?
I don't know if I listened that hard, but it sounded like he did.
Interesting.
It sounded like he had a nice little mashup going on, knowing both sides.
If you want to hear a really amazing hip-hop group out of Tel Aviv directly, they have a great song called Shalom Salam Peace, which is perfect. Just check out kxp.org or planetbeat.net. I've got their stuff on there.
Oh, listed and linked.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. It's getting... I don't know how much time you have right now.
A couple more minutes.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure you guys are
He's
on
got a
tight
DJ
schedule.
Tonight.
So where are you DJing?
With Venus.
Tonight is at the CSUN Lounge. It's a party that's thrown every Thursday by Abdul Mastery. And Abdul does a cool job of mixing up different types of talent and different types of genres. So tonight I'll play some Afrobeat, some Latin house. I'll play a little modern global, thanks to Derek's influence. I'm a big deep house and soul head. So at the end of the night, you know, I'll put a set together that kind of blends all those things together. Venus, female DJ, great local talent. She's into deep house, soulful house, and so it's kind of nice. We can kind of, you know, travel over the globe and then bounce back and forth.
See, I'm still learning the difference between trance, house, acid. I mean,
That's why Crossfader. That's why all that stuff is going to be there. Yeah.
So you're planning on making it easy for dummies, like, you know, kind of like. I seriously, she said, "Oh, I listened to this sound and it was great. It was like a hip hop." She said, "No, it wasn't hip hop, babe. That was trance." I'm like, "What do you mean trance? It sounded hip hop to me." "No, it's trance." "What do you mean it's trance?" "No, I thought you said it was house." "No, it's trance." "How do you know the difference between house and trance?" how does the average ear? How can you tell?
So
there's a bunch of ways.
There's a bunch of ways, but I think the easiest way.
We have to have two more hours.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
The easiest way, and this is, you know, back to Derek's point, this is one of the things we want to do, is just easily educate people. So if we work with, and we are working with, the artists that are personify those genres, so it may be a, well, in this case, like a Tony Touch. So reggaeton is a new genre that has emerged that's basically a combination of what? Reggae, hip-hop, Spanish lyrics,
and percussion. It's originated in Puerto Rico, and it's just taken over in Miami. Mm. They had four, not one, not two, but three, four radio stations dedicated to reggaeton. And in New York, it's popped up. Anything with a Latin population, it's going to outsell salsa and merengue this year. It's huge.
Wow.
But, you know, gringos are just like, what is this funny music?
Oh, they just say it's hip-hop. And then, you miss the whole point. You miss the whole cultural aspect of it. And if you actually want to go start producing it, where do you start? Because it has this distinctive sound. Mm-hmm. So you have to go find the right tools to produce. And that's, you know, what we're going to do through CrossFitter, is like introduce you to Tony Touch and then educate you on reggaeton and then show you the tools that he uses to produce his music. So you now have this very, very intimate relationship and understanding of what that genre is about, and the whole kind of lay of the terrain behind it.
Well, I can tell you, if there's anything that comes through crossfader.com that you think is interesting for the general population, I'd be more than happy to share it with our audience.
Awesome.
You know, we're primarily just talky, but when there's a good beat to be played, something decent, it's something that everybody's interested in music in one way or another, and if we can expose that,
if we
great.
Could do that, I don't know what the legality is with podcasting right now, but it'd be great if we could actually do something where we bring every genre that we know right now, and we do, like, you know, this is a 20-second clip, and this is this, and this is why this is this. Because it's always evolving, too. Like, reggaeton's only a couple of years old, and it's just, you know, it just hit, and it became huge. Hmm. One of the reasons also that a lot of these genres are popping up right now is that lyrically, they have something to say. You know, it's a younger form of music, and a lot of, like, old-school salsa. It doesn't matter what country, like, a lot of popular music in all over Africa, Asia, the Middle East, lyrics tend to be, I love you, I want you, you break my heart, I love you, I want you, you break my heart. Hip-hop artists, especially, and reggaeton artists, and, you know, that are actually, they're saying something. You know, they're dealing with social, political, cultural issues that the other artists just don't touch at all.
Did you pay the ASCAP license for podcasting to play music on top of your...
Not that I know of. We haven't played much. Every bit of music that we've played has been Creative Commons licensed.
Oh, cool.
So, we're fine. In fact, some of the stuff that we'll use is from... I'll usually go to Staccato, which is a podcast that's run by Matt May, a local audiophile as well. But the byline of Staccato is... music that probably won't get you sued. And I used a bit of it on I needed a bed for a promo for our upcoming conference, and I was looking around like, where should I go? So I'll just try Staccato, and I found a really, really good one, I thought, and it worked out very, very well. And that's how, I guess that's as much as I could get into it. It's like, what did someone else do? That sounds great. Here, let me use that. And, you know, I'd also be watching the P's and Q's as far as legalities go, because I can understand how an artist, if he or she had not given up permission, they would want to protect that.
Yeah, but I'm kind of digging Derek's idea. Maybe we could work on something together, like, for you. That was basically like a podcast of sorts that basically walked through, you know, this is trance, here's techno, here are the permutations of it.
Yeah,
so kind of do it.
I mean, what kind of trance? What kind of techno?
Well, that'd be helpful. Well, we all live in Seattle, so you're you know, more than welcome.
If we could update it, because literally a new genre pops up every month.
You're that often?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
God, I'm still kind of trying to catch up on yesterday's news, let alone tomorrow's.
You could say the same with rock and roll. And, you know, we know, I don't want it to take up too much time, but one of the arguments that we've been getting is that electronic music is just electronic music. It's just DJ culture. But the thing is, it's been around since the early 80s, And now if you listen to bands like The Shins, The Postal Service, you listen to rap and rock, you listen to any hip-hop, that's all based on electronic music. Without electronic music, none of those genres would be here right now. So, you know, we are looking to expand even beyond just the DJ realm. It's definitely, everybody needs a place to start, and we need to have a strong foundation. But this culture, this music, is moving into all different types of musical structures, musical ideas right now.
That sounds very interesting and exciting. I'll be interested to see what comes from Crossfader.
Yeah,
on all sorts of different levels, because you never know. I may end up trying something.
Please do.
It'll be dangerous. I guarantee.
I hope so.
I'll probably create a genre without even knowing it. You know, it's like
disturbing.
Quite disturbing.
Go get yourself a copy of Acid or whatever. Tool of your choice, and we can help you, and we can blog back and forth on Crossfader.
I may have an older copy of Acid, actually. I never really saw okay, that's interesting.
But nobody's ever done a podcasting mashup yet. That could be interesting.
That would be very interesting.
Yeah,
it's scary at the same time, because I've heard
dangerous.
A few podcasts. Very scary.
Yeah, and my boss Len Pryor, he's always on my case. He's like, hey man, you got to do something about mashups, and you got to start injecting music into the podcasting community. I'm like, okay, just let us get this project out the door, and then we'll do some of this fun stuff.
So, yeah. Oh, so your boss is Len as well?
Yeah, yeah.
He seems to rule all. Everybody I meet, seemingly their boss is Len Pryor.
Yeah, I mean, I think his direct reports is actually, six or I don't know how many in the global address book, but actually there's probably like 500 people with reports of Len, but I'm just kidding. I mean, he influences and touches so many people inside the company from a community aspect, and, he's great at keeping people honest and getting people focused on the right things, and at the end of the day, reporting structure is not really the thing. It's more of your power of influence, and he does a great job. So I want to wish him if he listens to this, wish him he's on break right now. He just him and his wife had a baby.
Uh-huh.
So I hope I haven't talked to him in a couple of days, but I hope he's doing well.
Yes, and now that he knows his name's mentioned, don't tell him where it was mentioned.
Yeah.
Just say, oh, we brought you up and we're talking and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Don't say where, because, we're unfortunately nearing the end of this particular interview. And,
yep.
That's the treat he gets. He doesn't know where he's mentioned.
Oh, okay.
In the So we'll make him listen to every, because he can't skip through it,
We can actually sound scan it, though. We can, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, just like look for those things.
Yeah.
For all the and ums.
Yeah. Or so's. That's the Microsoftism.
No, or ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the.
Guys are killing me.
Well, Eric and Derek, thank you so much for the work you're doing, and also on the local Seattle scene. I'm going to start listening to KEXP just because I need to expand my musical repertoire, even though I have plenty of CDs. It's always good to learn something new.
And whenever we're going to do a local Seattle outreach initiative as well around Crossfader, and we'd love to have you come just to help kind of shed light on what you do, your belief in social networking, and how you're using technology to educate the world on the things that you
that
love.
That would be fabulous. So,
light some fires. No problem. That's what I do. So, thank you, guys.
Cool.
Namaste.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.